Well, I think we've got the intro sorted.
Hey, I'm Paul, and welcome to Sibling Rivalry Disorder, a podcast discussing everything from blue slushies to blowing raspberries with an eye to finding out if people from the same family, house, schools, or town can actually completely agree on anything. How are you, Dibs?
I'm significantly better than I was about 10 minutes ago, thank you.
I am very excited. We are now in definitely doing this mode. We are considerably closer to the timeline of the people listening to it than we were when we recorded the previous episodes, and like I say, very excited. So I thought I would change it up a little bit, and alongside our main topic, I want to start with one that is going to run throughout the show, because we are going to be probably frantically Googling. So I've written it on the doc as brand new. You and I are both interested-ish in etymology, and brand new is something that I just heard a week ago and thought, brand new? Why brand new? The only thing I can assume is, like, if you're on Dragon's Den and you're a new company coming out with a new product, that would make sense as brand new. But we call things brand new that have been about for a long time.
Do we?
Yeah, if you go out and buy yourself a PlayStation 4, they've been on sale for 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, I see. Brand new for you, not for everyone else.
Yeah, but brand new for you doesn't sit well with me, if you know what I mean.
Why?
I don't know, it just doesn't. It's the choice of words. Why brand new? What is...
Why not?
New is a perfectly descriptive word.
Yes.
The brand new, I don't feel, adds anything to it, except maybe an emphasis.
Considering brands are what we buy, maybe it's something to do with that. Oh, it's German.
Ah, go on, enlighten me.
It's still used in modern Dutch and German, but it's from, you know, Old German, of which Old English was a descendant. It means fresh from the fire. You know, branding as in...
It means what, sorry?
Fresh from the fire, as in branding is hot.
Excellent.
That's why it...
I see, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I like that. See, so what I was thinking is, throughout the show, any examples of any phrases like that that we come across or think of that's baffled us a little bit.
Pie in the sky, for instance.
Yeah, pie in the sky, I think we mentioned before somewhere.
Yes, we did.
And I
that's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
We'll all have pie in the sky when we die.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you got another example?
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. Before you Google anything, give us an example of what you think that is supposed to be
No,
for.
You've misunderstood me. I mean, you asked me if I could think of anything, and I was replying with, what off the top of my head?
Yes.
No.
I understood that, but then that's a perfect example.
Why is it?
Well, because why off the top of... where's that come from?
Well, because it's at the forefront of your mind is what I imagine. You know, without having to do any particular thinking, it's there on the top layer for you to pluck out and get easily.
That makes sense, and that is my guess as well. But I want to know how close we are to correct.
Without careful thought or investigation. I don't know where it comes from, though, because it doesn't say on that part.
This is the imagery that comes to mind with this expression. The idiom originated in American in the mid-1900s. An early example of this phrase can be found in Harold L. Ike's 1939 secret diary. He was impetuous and inclined to think off the top of his head at times.
Hmm. Yeah, that one kind of...
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I didn't think it was anything particularly misleading.
So I wasted a couple of minutes. Have you thought of another?
I heard a great one. This is more of a regional thing than something everybody would say. But sometimes someone will say something regional and you just think, what?
Yeah.
Let's see if you can work out what this means. The saying is, do you have a frog in your pocket?
Do you have a frog in your pocket?
Yep.
I like it already.
I like it too.
I'm assuming it's something to some way of telling somebody off for standing around with their hands in their pockets.
Nope. Let me give it to you in context. This person, who I don't know personally, they're out in the world, like us right now talking here. She and her husband were having a conversation one day, and her husband said, oh, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And she said, hold on a minute, have you got a frog in your pocket? And because he isn't from the same region as she is, he was baffled. Didn't know what
is this region
about.
In the UK?
No. No, this is American.
So it's something to do with jumping the gun or trying to go early or something?
Nope, would you like me to tell you?
Yeah, go on.
He kept saying, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. So her asking if he had a frog in his pocket is the we referring to you and the frog. You know, the royal we.
Yeah,
the princess and the frog, all that stuff. And I thought, that's actually really cool. But I would have stood there and been like, what? As well.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. That's good. Right. So if anything like this pops up at any point, if you think of anything along this show, just jump in and shout it out and we'll stop what we're doing. But because it is the autumn time, the weather's changing.
Thank God.
And Halloween is fast approaching. We were going to take Halloween as a main topic.
It will be Halloween already by the time this airs, so don't be confused.
I suppose the first and most obvious question was, what are your thoughts on Halloween as an event?
It's just sort of there. It's fun.
A lot of people get excited about Halloween in the same way they do Christmas and, in America, Thanksgiving and...
I would argue I get more excited about Halloween than I do about Christmas.
Yeah,
now.
From the memes I've seen, generally that is an adult perspective, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, like, when I was a kid, they were sort of on equal par. Like, you know what I mean? They were even. I liked them both the same. But then, as I got older, both of them completely lost their charm, really, because the joy of Christmas was hanging out with your family and, well, you know, great food, presents, all the good shit. Ah, crap. Oh, no, that's two already.
I'm losing my laughing.
Yeah, like, all the good stuff. So then, as I got older, the presents taper off. You suddenly don't get nearly so many presents anymore, which... You know, I can live with that. I'm not a big materialistic person anyway. I was more so when I was a child because you're pressured into it by all your friends and the adverts on the telly that make, ooh, shiny, shiny, you know, that kind of thing. What did suck about Christmas was half of my family don't live in the same town as me anymore. So it's not even like a special family time anymore, which was what made Christmas as far as I was concerned. You know,
yeah.
All of us in the same room, having a bit of a laugh and doing stupid stuff you wouldn't do for the whole of the rest of the year. So that kind of started to suck a little bit. And Halloween, obviously, when I was like 18, people would have looked at me funny if I'd have gone and knocked on their door and asked for some sweets. So that kind of got boring. And then when I had a kid, the excitement for Christmas came back sooner. But now that he is 5 and we've been trick-or-treating for the last couple of years now, the excitement for that has come back again. Yeah, I would argue Halloween doesn't cost me any money. Christmas costs me a ton of money and stress. And yes, it is nice on the actual day, on Christmas Day, when you can watch the kids opening their presents and stuff. But the lead up, the few months leading up to it, are so overshadowed by, oh my God, I'm going to be a terrible parent if I haven't figured this out and that out. And whereas Halloween is completely stress-free, except you have to sort out a costume. That's it. Get a costume. Yeah. Everybody has fun dressing up like the coolest creatures there are. And you get loads of like sweets and stuff. So what's not to love as far as I'm concerned? What about you?
Yeah, I pretty much echo those feelings. Even when I didn't have any kids in the house, I always quite liked Halloween when the other kids are up and down the street and coming and collecting all the sweets. It's one of my favourite things about it is... In a world where everybody's constantly consumed by the fear of terrorism and kids being snatched and stuff, it's one day a year where it's fine to send your kid knocking on neighbours' doors and without much fear.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, because such a big deal is made of Halloween, my mind says if sickos and paedophiles and, you know, just nutters in general are going to pick a time to strike. And they know there's a bunch of kids walking about outside, a lot of them without adults. You'd think that would be a pretty good night to pick from their point of view. But I also think about, did you ever hear about that serial killer in America? I can't remember now. It wasn't a serial killer.
I don't know, but there's quite a lot of them.
Well, this guy, I'm pretty sure it was the dad, actually. He spiked the kid's candy and killed him. I can't remember what...
Wait. I think you're talking about hearsay.
What?
Because I remember, I don't know if it was a video on YouTube or something, but it was a discussion about how many times a razor blade's ever been found in apples and how many poisoned candy the... What, I can't think of what the bloody word is. What is it? It's an urban myth.
No, this guy is real. It wasn't an urban myth. There is an urban myth about those things. Here we go. I found his name. Ronald Clark O'Brien, nicknamed the Candyman, or the man who killed
nice.
Halloween, convicted of killing his 8-year-old son, Timothy, on Halloween 1974.
He killed his own son?
Yeah, with poison candy. He also distributed poison candy to his daughter and three other children in an attempt to cover up what he'd done. I can't remember now why he killed his son, but I've watched a programme about it. This is a real dude. And this
nice.
Is... I don't know if the urban legend comes from him or if he was copying the urban legend, but it really did happen. And he's a right weird-looking bloke as well, like the guy that done it.
You ever see a mugshot on the news of the guy that has been
they
arrested?
Always look like
every
lunatics.
Single one of them and look like they've done it.
Yeah,
because they find the most lunatic-y looking picture of him. There's like 80 pictures that they refused where he's wearing a suit and patting some old granny.
I'm sorry, but, yeah. What? Patting some old granny? That sounds like something you should go to prison for as well.
Like, I was more thinking of like a hand on her back as she crosses the road.
I was thinking more like spread your legs, bitch. You know, like that kind of pat down.
No, that's not what I meant. The only slightly negative side I can think of from taking your kids out and going door to door is if it's raining cats and dogs.
Ah!
What?
Raining cats and dogs.
I know this one. Do you know this one?
No, not that I remember. I might do somewhere
here in the back of my mind. This is a good one. This is a really interesting one. I think this is how the story goes, but you should be Googling it while I'm talking. Raining cats and dogs is from the early days of London having sewers, and when it rained really heavily overnight, the sewers would block and flood and come back out into the street, and any dead cats and dogs that were sort of there were some domesticated but also some just strolling about, strays, any of the dead dogs and cats would end up in the storm drains and then end up all over the street when it's rained, and everybody would come out in the morning and there'd just be cats and dogs everywhere and a wet floor and the water's all gone.
Well,
I think that is the etymology of that.
That isn't what Google says, but Google does also, there's several results here and it's made clear that nobody really knows the precise origin, but there are some theories, one of which is the most common one apparently is that homes back then had thatched roofs in which domestic animals such as cats and dogs would hide, and in heavy rain the animals would be washed out or abandon it for somewhere better to shelter, so it would seem like it was raining cats and dogs is one of the things. But there was another one here that sounded
That seems very unlikely to me, having stood on a thatched roof. That sounds unlikely to me, but go on.
This one says Odin, the Norse god of storms, was often pictured with dogs and wolves, which were symbols of wind, so to say it's raining cats and dogs might be to say it's raining waterfalls or something. And then underneath it says that it's a false theory about cats and dogs cuddling in thatched roofs in old England. No, that's the same. So it definitely seems to be the overriding thing I'm seeing is that it stems from Norse mythology.
I like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, so raining cats and dogs, you've got to go traipsing around with your kids all in makeup or whatever. But other than that, it's a generally good thing. But there is also the origins of Halloween is nothing to do with what we use Halloween for now. And in fact, the way it's written in the Google Doc, which I think you put in the Google Doc.
You're stealing my subject.
All Hallows Eve. No, this one. It says All Hallows Night.
It's sewing, or I think I'm saying that right, but I can't remember. I haven't looked in a while, but I had to write a article for one of the magazines I used to write for.
I was going to ask you about that. I knew you did one on Bonfire Night. I wasn't sure whether you might have had to cover Halloween as well.
I did Valentine's Day too. That one was way less fun.
Yeah. I can imagine.
But yeah, it's a Celtic festival. And it was actually, that would have been...
Is it Celtic? I thought it was even earlier than that. I thought it was pagan.
Well, most Celts were pagan, weren't they?
I don't know. I thought pagans were the kind of hippies and the Celts were more organised and angry.
Well, maybe they were Presbyterians. But incidentally, just in the interest of not offending anybody who is a Presbyterian and is listening to this, our father is a Presbyterian, which is why that's funny.
We don't worry about that.
But yeah, that was their New Year.
Yeah.
November the 1st was what was New Year's Day in the day. So All Hallows Eve would have been, or Samhain, would have been New Year's Eve, the equivalent of.
It's amazing how these things work out. The 31st of October is 10 days out from an equinox. And it is incredible that all of these things, no matter whose history you're studying, everything ends up with a new year, except for the current calendar we use, that is separated by equinoxes and solstices. And it's solstice time on the 21st of October, when we all change our clocks somewhere around that date. So that makes perfect sense to me. You couldn't expect them to calculate the tiny distance stars had changed within 10 days that far, that long ago. But yeah, that does... I never knew that. But it makes perfect sense to me that that is the case.
Yeah, the thing about it is, the reason it's all like everybody dress up as a monster is, I don't know if this is at the same time as it was still called Samhain, but I remember they would dress up in costumes to ward off evil spirits. So you're going into the new year cleansed, essentially. So, and then over the years it developed into everybody dresses up in a costume and gets... does like the trick or treat thing, which is rarely seen in this day and age. It's what kids say when they go up to the door, but what they actually mean is, give me some sweets. If you actually ask a kid to do a trick these days, they look at you completely dumbfounded, like, what? I have to earn it. But that's how that all evolved, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, and then more recently it became All Saints Day, essentially, didn't it?
No, that was years ago. That was Pope Gregory III time. That was...
Yeah, that's the current calendar, isn't it?
All Saints Day.
What we're using now. That was what I meant by more recently.
I was going to say.
The current calendar time.
It was hardly yesterday, dude.
No. Geologically,
would you like
speaking,
me to quote Rimmer at you?
No. Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. The whole Gregorian calendar is the only calendar I know of that wasn't based around one of the solstices or equinoxes.
Or harvest time.
Yeah, it's just based on getting leap days out the way and leap years out the way, as far as I can remember. So is there anything I'm not covering? We haven't actually spoke about anything. Oh, there's one thing. You've just mentioned the... dressing up to ward off evil spirits.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that warding off those evil spirits, you don't really want to be dressed like John Wayne.
If anybody's going to kill, you know, anything. Why not John Wayne?
It's Chuck Norris. It's Chuck Norris every time. No. In America, they don't see the scary thing as essential for dressing up. Over here, you wouldn't get kids dressing up as cats or golden one Dalmatians.
I think that that was definitely the case when we were children, but I think in recent years we've kind of adopted the American way. I've seen kids walking about dressed as fairies, you know, like fairy princesses.
Oh, that's scary.
Stuff instead, like, if you want to be a badass that does magic, what's wrong with a witch? And they're, you know, scary. Why do you have to be a fairy? Yeah. And go and ruin it all? This is not the tooth fairy's moment, like. But
yeah,
apparently.
Well, I don't know.
I
bet she could kick ass if she needed to. Yeah, don't be deceived by the tininess or the prettiness. She's got a star-shaped wand.
But, and gives children money. Which is very handy. And she doesn't exist.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she's nearly as creepy as unicorns.
But, or Santa Claus.
Oh, don't get me started on that fat bastard. I wonder if you get people in America that dress up as Santa Claus for Halloween.
That's actually a really cool idea, though. If you made him creepy, you could scare all of the children that saw you.
Yeah, but then everybody would think that you were dressed as the Grinch.
Maybe, yeah. Although, that would be a cool costume, too. Have you seen the belly on the Grinch?
I would.
It's like a pregnancy. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Interestingly, are you intending on trick-or-treating this year? Not you personally. I mean, are you taking the small people out?
I would imagine I probably am. I haven't thought that far ahead yet, or in the past, people listening.
Have they?
Or now. I may be out right now while you're listening to this.
Yes. Just stop digging. Put the damn spade down. Do you know what the small people intend to dress up as? Have they had any ideas, or have they just not thought about it yet?
I think the boy's going out as a ghost, and because it seems to irritate you, I might make Phoebe the Tooth Fairy.
That's it. I'm going as a unicorn. Well, my small person has decided. How cool is this, by the way? He wants to be the empty child.
Oh, that's scary.
That is super cool, though. And what's going to really freak me out is when he's walking around going, "Are you my mummy?
Are you my mummy?"
And I'll be like, "Yes, shut up." It's going to be so cool.
It's other people that hear that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I don't know. He wants me to dress up. I always have to dress up with him, but I don't know what I'm going to dress up as. He did like the idea of me dressing as Doctor Who, and I have now got the hair to pull off 10, maybe, but not 9. Thirteen isn't the one that was with the empty child. 9 was.
Yeah, you need a bit less hair to cover that much.
Yeah, like a receding hairline.
What you could do is be 10. If you be 10 in 10's first episode, then you'll still be wearing the leather jacket.
Or I could be 10 when he meets up with... Oh my God, I can't believe I've forgotten her name.
Oh, Martha.
Martha, yeah, Martha. Martha Jones.
Yeah, I liked Martha. She doesn't...
I liked Martha. She doesn't. Like, I actually like her and I just forgot her name. But, you know, when she's quit his service...
It's an old-fashioned name.
Yes, it is. But so's Rose. When she stops working with the Doctor, so to speak, and ends up working for UNIT, and she calls him, you know, that episode?
Yeah.
And he wears the gas mask and says, "Are you my mummy?"
Yeah.
I could go as 10 like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Need a good long coat, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. But I've got the boys sorted anyway, so... That's all good. I just wanted to share what he wanted to go as, because I think that's so cool. My 5-year-old wants to go as Doctor Who baddies. Anyway, we have strayed.
We have. Although that is going to be a scary Halloween for any Who fans. Your boy turning up and going, "Are you my mummy?"
I might not let him say it every time, because anybody that hasn't seen Doctor Who is likely to try and take him from me, because I think I've kidnapped some random child.
Yeah, right. Anything else to cover on Halloween? Have we missed anything? We've covered the scariness, kind of. We've covered the origin. We've covered the fun.
What about grown-up Halloween? I mean, these
grown-up Halloween's an excellent idea.
It's not just for kids.
I've never been to a proper Halloween party that didn't involve kids, but yeah, adults enjoy it.
Epic. Loads of pumpkin flavoured alcohol and
yeah, that's not epic.
Everything is pumpkin flavoured and that drives me crazy. Pumpkin spice this and pumpkin spice that. I have to tell you, there might be a good reason for this whole epidemic that happens around Halloween, but the sheer fact that you get it rammed down your throat at every possible opportunity from like mid-September probably till the end of November, maybe even mid-December, with this whole pumpkin spice thing has made me not want to try it. I've never tried pumpkin spice because it's rammed down your throat.
I think the pumpkins got attached to Halloween because pumpkins were a big thing in Thanksgiving and pumpkins were about and in season already for Halloween. I don't know when the carving began. Do you carve a pumpkin?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you've carved pumpkins. I've seen them.
The last 2 years we've done one because the small fry is old enough now to get some fun out of it.
I think
we did Jack Skellington's face. I can't remember if that was last year or the one before. But for the life of me, I can't remember what we did the other year. It was really cool, I know that. We took pictures of it, but I can't for the life of me remember what we did. But I can't remember now, but I do know why the pumpkin carving thing happens. I know I've looked...
Yeah, in my head, it's a part of the warning evil spirits off, because it's supposed to protect your house or something, isn't it, I think. You put it in the doorways or whatever.
Oh, it's an not English, it's a British thing. In Ireland and Scotland, people began to make their own versions of Jack's lanterns. It's the jack-o'-lantern thing, isn't it? By carving scary faces into turnips and potatoes. And then obviously, see, it was the turnips and potatoes bit that I remembered.
Are you reading this from your own article?
No, this isn't mine. I went looking because I couldn't remember. Mine isn't online, it's in a magazine. Oh yeah, so the practice originated from an Irish myth about a man nicknamed Stingy Jack. According to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. Brave man, this Stingy Jack. True to his name, Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. Once the devil did so, Jack decided to keep the money and put it into his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back into his original form. Clever man! Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year and that should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. The next year, Jack again tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. When he was up the tree, Jack carved a sign of the cross onto the tree's bark so that the devil could not come down until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years. So, soon after Jack died, as the legend goes, God would not allow such an unsavoury figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick Jack had played on him and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. He sent Jack off into the night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved out turnip and has been roaming the earth ever since. The Irish began to refer to this ghostly figure as the Jack of the Lantern and then simply Jack-o'-Lantern. So that's where it comes from.
That's brilliant.
Isn't it?
I'm glad I asked. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
It is awesome.
And I like Jack. I like most Irish people I've ever spoken with. And that's true to form.
Yeah, it is. I met a man called Pockets when I was about 12 and he sounds just like Jack. Nice, really nice guy. But, you know, nobody's perfect.
Excellent.
But we will come back to this in a future episode because when it comes to myths and legends and stuff, I think I might be a little bit biased here, but I don't think I am because I do appreciate the others. But I do genuinely think the ones that come from the British Isles are some of the best myths and the longest lasting that have evolved so much over time that nobody even really knows that they originate from where they did.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a good example now. Like fairies, for instance. But yeah, we'll come back to this subject because this is like a massive vein of awesomely cool stuff.
Yeah, there's a good 45 minutes chat just there.
Yeah, I might have to carve a little Stingy Jack on the front of our lantern this year then.
Yeah, I think I'll do the same. Right, moving on with a slightly tedious link. I've got the seven deadly sins. Before you Google anything, can you name all seven deadly sins?
No, I don't think I've ever known what all seven are. I know gluttony is one of them.
It is. You must be able to get at least one more.
I don't know. I'm thinking, but nothing's popping into my head. I know they're probably things that I would like maybe agree with, and I might have known three or four of them once, but I don't think I've ever actually known what all seven were.
I don't know. There's they're not all agreeable. The first one is lust.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got lust, gluttony, greed.
Yeah, I knew greed was there, but I didn't want to say that because that's like, yeah, exactly. It's the same as gluttony for me, which is why I always forget it's a separate thing.
Yeah, sloth.
Oh, yeah, I did know sloth was one because I just think that's wrath. A fantastic word.
It is a good word and a good animal.
Yes.
And yet it's a sin. Yeah, wrath.
Isn't it wrath when you're saying it in terms of the sins?
I don't know. Maybe. Is one like a past tense version of it? Or, I don't know. Envy and pride.
I did know envy was there.
Pride cometh before the fall, so pride's there. But I don't think pride is really worthy of placing somebody in heaven. I say that.
Heaven?
stopping someone from getting to heaven, sorry. But,
well, it depends, doesn't it? I'm assuming you've never read Pride and Prejudice, but I'm also assuming that you have a vague understanding of what happens in that story because it's such a well-known story.
Yeah.
Even if you take Red Dwarf's spoof in virtual reality, Pride and Prejudice land, you get the idea. Like, it depends how far. I always find this really difficult to articulate. And I'm a writer, so that's worrying. But pride and proud are different. Like, in my head, they do mean the same thing. They're just different tenses. But for some reason, if I think someone is proud, I'm not thinking of it as in the same light. It's a negative in that you're looking down your nose at people. It's almost like arrogance. They go hand in hand, like pride and arrogance. So I think it's how you handle pride is the difference between whether it's a sin or... it's okay. I get why that's there, basically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so, but I still don't think it's eternal damnation worthy.
Well, no, but neither is envy. Two cakes, one after the other.
No.
You're not hurting anyone but yourself. Unless the cake belonged to someone else, I don't see why you should be punished for it.
Well, funny enough, stealing isn't one of them.
No.
But, emotion that goes along with stealing isn't one of them. But these are essentially emotions, aren't they?
More or less, yes. I'm not sure gluttony could be considered an emotion. It's an act rather than...
Yeah. There's two here that I don't know how to pronounce, and they are historical sins. I'm assuming that these are words that have been replaced by more modern words. I haven't yet clicked on them.
Like wrath.
They are... I think it's Acedia. But it might be Acedia.
How do you spell it?
Acedia.
Wait a minute. Acedia?
Yeah.
No idea.
Acedia? I think it's Acedia. But I'm assuming
I would want to go with a soft C.
Acedia.
Yeah, it is Acedia. I just checked.
And have you checked what it is?
No, I just put in pronunciation.
Ah, in which case, let me enlighten you. Acedia is to neglect... to take care of something that one should do. Wait a minute, isn't taking care of the thing that you should do pride?
No. If anything, it's responsibility is the closest thing to that, isn't it?
What does this say? In early Christian thought, the lack of joy was regarded as a willful refusal to enjoy the goodness of God.
So does that mean...
by contrast, apathy was considered a refusal to help others in the time of need.
Ennui must be a sin, then.
But the only other historical word is vainglory.
Vainglory? I'm taking that's envy, is it?
It's unjustified boasting. So basically lying about pride. Okay, then. I think that's the most worthy of the nine.
Seven deadly sins, wrath. The capital sins from lust to envy are generally associated with pride, which has been labelled as the father of all sins. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath. Oh, that does say wrath, but it says wrath somewhere else. envy, pride.
What was the father of all sins?
Pride, I think. Yeah, pride.
Why is that the father of all sins?
Because pride breeds all of the others, doesn't it?
I don't know.
One would imagine.
But why is it the father? These things are normally the mother.
Well, that's not very nice, is it, you sexist pig?
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, like...
I know.
Mother Nature, Mother Land, and all of that stuff.
I was joking. Yes, but it's usually, in terms of Bible speak anyway, other than Eve, the majority of the time, the person screwing up had a penis.
To be fair, so did the person who was the saviour.
And, yes, and... But his mother was a woman.
I can't disagree with you there.
And in fairness, Eve was misled by a male snake.
There is nothing in the Bible that implies that snake was male.
It's been a while since I read it, admittedly.
In fact, in the Bible, I don't even think it is a snake.
It's a serpent.
They just call it a serpent, don't they?
Yeah, it's a serpent in the Bible. I don't know why I've always thought of it as being a boy snake, though. Maybe because of Scar in the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
In the original Disney version, because in the remake they did, it's a
woman. Yeah, look into my eyes. Is it?
Yeah, haven't you seen the real? Real, you know what I mean?
Like, no.
They've got a boy is playing Mowgli and... CGI,
yeah, well, they call it the life motion or something they call it. Live action, yeah.
Scar was a girl in that one. I don't know if Scar was always supposed to be a girl, and the voice was just a little bit masculine when I was a kid. And...
It's Winnie the Pooh.
What is?
The voice of Scar is Winnie the Pooh.
Are you kidding me? You've just shattered every childhood illusion.
Really?
Yeah.
It sticks out like a sore thumb. It blatantly sounds like Winnie the Pooh. I don't know this. I just thought it. I thought it was obvious to everybody. I don't know.
I've never paid that much attention to Winnie the Pooh's voice. I think it's K-A-A, but I could be wrong.
It's two A's.
I think so, but I could be wrong, because it's not English, is it? It's, oh God, where's it
said? Rudyard Kipling, I'm guessing, is German or something, but they're in Asia.
Yeah, it's in Asia, but the names are...
No, Rudyard Kipling's English.
No, it's African, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. Mowgli sounds more like an African name than a...
Yeah, but Mowgli was named by animals, to be fair.
No, he wasn't.
What, you think the wolves already knew his name?
No, I think he told them their name.
He was a baby in a basket, you bloody idiot.
Not in the new one. And I've never read the book, so I don't really know what happens in the book. I don't know if it's the animals or if it was his parents or whatever, but the films are kind of misleading. But since they're, you know, cartoons and talking animals, I don't think it's really all that important.
That's interesting. When you type Scar, the Jungle Book, into Google, you know you get the little sort of bio on the right.
Bio? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you type a person's name. It says, Scar is a fictional character from the Jungle Book stories written by Rudyard Kipling. Scar is one of Mowgli's trusted mentors and friends.
Well, he thinks it is, doesn't he? Mowgli thinks the snake is a trusted friend and companion.
Appearance, enormous Indian python. There you go, they're in Asia.
Have you seen his goal?
Yeah, to catch his prey. The same dislikes. As everything else.
The dislikes is the best one.
Starvation. Being knocked out of trees. Having a knot in his tail. Shere Khan. Danger. Mowgli getting away from him. Excellent. But this hasn't told me who voiced him.
There's another one here that says, goal to devour Mowgli.
Priyanka Chopra, apparently, is the new person.
Ah, it says here, why was Scar reimagined as female? So we'll get to the bottom of this.
You go for it. I'm looking at the 67 cast and crew. So Scar is Sterling.
Oh, it's Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, who was the Indian name I just rang out then?
I have no idea.
Hang on, I'll get back to that in a second.
This says, previously goofy, villainous Indian python is depicted as female, voiced by Scarlett Johansson. In reimagining Cars' gender, Disney enhances the snake's already seductive qualities, made even more alluring by Johansson's husky, sultry, feminine voice. Without the comical quality of her male forebear, Car comes across as a slippery, calculating femme fatale who is far more sinister than previous incarnations. Changing Car's gender was an attempt to write an imbalance of having all male characters in the film. However, by changing the snake into a woman, The Jungle Book arguably fulfills the cliché trope of on-screen women only being allowed to be femme fatale or maternal figures. They just can't win, can they?
No.
The world has gone mad.
Right, so Sterling Holloway is the person who voiced the original one.
Sterling Holloway.
Distinctive high-pitched voice, best known as Winnie the Pooh.
It was him, Sterling Holloway, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
I thought it was. It was.
When I think Winnie the Pooh, I can't think of anything but hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
That's Tigger.
Yeah, I know. He's way cooler.
But yeah, we introduced the boy to The Jungle Book when we finally found a copy of the older version. And a few days later, when he got out of the bath, I couldn't understand what he was saying when I was putting his pants on, but he was getting really angry at me. And he's going, "Gag-dag-gogly, gag-dag-gogly." And I'm like, what? And he went, he took his dummy out. And and he went, just like Mowgli. And that was it. He just wanted to run around in his pants. He wouldn't let me put his pyjamas on.
Yeah, you made a rod for your own back there. Soon it will have to be red pants, otherwise there'll be no content in him.
Yeah, he was happy enough at the time.
Bless him. I think we should do something else on the end.
The death of is just supposed to be describe your favourite character death.
We already did that. My subject down here, favourite on-screen death.
No. I don't mean on screen, I mean in a book.
Well, that could take some thinking about. I know there's some that I really hate. Hurt me. But hang on, let me think. Probably, maybe, without taking too much time to think about it, Annie Wilkes.
Ah, I didn't see that coming.
Why?
Because mine is Beaver from The Dreamcatcher.
You wanted Beave to die?
No, I didn't want him to die. It was the way he died.
No, it was definitely cool, but it's not something that made me feel good.
No, I didn't say it had to make you feel good.
You check the wording of this when you do the editing. There was something you said that led me to believe you meant, you know, like a death.
It was just your favourite character death.
Yeah, but I took that as in favourite death rather than favourite character that died.
I didn't mean favourite character that died. I mean favourite death. Like the whole trying to pin the toilet seat down thing and needing a toothpick.
Yeah, but why would you... I can't wrap my head round.
I think because it went on for like a page and a half and I was just on the edge of my seat like, wait, he's not going to go for the toothpick, is he?
He's an idiot. Yes, he did. But it's fantastically written, but I've read a lot of deaths that are fantastically written. Isn't it curious, though, that we've both gone for a Stephen King character? He's featuring again.
I don't think so. I think he's the king of deaths.
Okay, so I've got a spin-off for you. Least favourite death. But what I actually mean is, not it was a boring death. I mean, you were wounded that character died. Like...
Oh, I can't remember what her name is.
I can tell you mine.
I know instantly who it is.
Shall I tell you mine?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Hedwig in Harry Potter. I was absolutely...
Yes, you need to give spoilers for stuff like that, even though that was like 8 years ago or whenever it was. I think the one that upset me the most is it was the first thing that flashed in my mind as you were asking the question, before you even finished asking the question, is the young girl that Katniss...
I haven't read it! Ah! Blah, 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 blah. In the spirit of Halloween, let me tell you something you should definitely, definitely go and look up. Several years ago, when I decided to start taking writing really seriously, I thought the best thing to do before I invest a lot of time and energy into this is to see if I'm actually capable of writing a novel-length piece of work. You already know this. I'm saying this for the sake of anybody that, you know, Hannah, basically. So I didn't want to spend time planning and outlining something fresh and brand new and something I would potentially ruin, basically. So I decided I would write a little fantasy slash romance type thing for my best friend, because then she would be the only one to read it. It wouldn't matter if it was utter rubbish, and there was no pressure to finish it, but just enough pressure, if you know what I mean. So in the process of doing this, I decided, because I can't help myself, that one of these chapters in this lovely, sunny, fantasy, romantic, everything is great type book would be a horror chapter. And to this day, she can't
read that. She opened the picnic basket and 19,000 ants came out. Pincers are blazing.
No. To this day, though, she cannot read that chapter. She skips that chapter. If she picks the book up to read it again, she skips that chapter every time because it was so creepy. And I wish I could recreate that feeling. But in the process of doing this, basically it was set in Los Angeles, and I decided I was going to send my best friend's character and her love interest on a ghost tour. So I did some research on, you know, haunted places in and around LA.
And you don't have to do that anymore. You can just stick on Sci-Fi and watch Ghost Hunters.
No, it was way more fun to do the research, to be honest. But hang on, let me see if I can find it, because I can't remember the name of the hotel. There we go. Where is it? Cecil Hotel. Have you ever heard of the Cecil Hotel? Apparently it's got a really, really bad reputation even before this thing happened, right? But yeah, there's a hotel there, and there was this girl called Eliza Lamb who was staying at the hotel, and they caught her on CCTV acting kind of weird in the lift.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the footage of watching that girl in the lift is one of the creepiest things you'll ever see in your life. I can't even explain why. There's just something really creepy about it. But yeah, she like disappeared, and for weeks nobody knew where she was. And in the meantime, there's new people coming and going from this hotel, and everybody's just getting on with their lives and stuff. And then people started complaining about a weird smell, and other people started complaining about discoloration of the water coming out of the taps, and a funny taste on the water coming out of the taps. Anyway, I think it was like 4 weeks later or something, they found this girl's body in the water tank on the roof of the hotel. So people have been brushing their teeth in dead body water for four weeks.
That's what killed the Mayans.
It really wasn't nice. But she was naked in this water tank. And the weird thing about it is the only way up to the tanks on the roof is past several locked doors that are staff access only. And how the hell she got into the tank, I forget now exactly how tall these tanks were. But they were, she's like a pretty little Asian girl. She's not tall. And these tanks are really, really big.
What age was she?
21.
Oh, right. I was thinking 10.
Oh, no, she's 21. But, she has somehow got into these tanks and drowned in the bottom of the tank. It says, the elevator footage released to the public was slowed down and almost a minute of time seems to have been edited out, although it was never discovered why. The bizarre goings-on seen on this tape is the prime reason this case has been talked about so much around the world. We may never know the truth surrounding it. Lamb was bipolar, a condition for which she took medication to control. Many thought this might have explained her odd behaviour and that in turn contributed to her committing suicide, but her friends and family attested that she was happy and at the time in no way had cause to take her own life. The last person known to interact with Eliza was bookstore manager Katie Orphan, who said she'd come into the shop to buy presents for her family. She is quoted as saying, very outgoing, very lively, very friendly, and here's where things get even stranger. In order to have killed herself in this manner, she would have had to have accessed the hotel's alarmed roof that was locked. She stripped herself naked, climbed a ladder up to the water tank to get herself inside a very awkward space and then closed the heavy lid of the tank that she was in. Certainly improbable. Firefighters at the scene had to drain the tank and cut a hole in it to retrieve her body because of the weight and difficulty of opening it, so you'd think this would be tricky for a young girl. Yet despite all this, her cause of death was officially ruled as accidental drowning. And I'm now looking at a picture of the water tanks, and they're probably like a person and a half tall. Big metal tanks. The lids are huge. Like, it's bizarre, but I'm going to send you the clip. I'm not going to watch it, because if anything has the power to make me debate whether it's worth getting out of bed in the dark or not, just because I need a pee, it's this clip. And I would urge anybody listening to go and find it if you like something to creep you out, because, yeah, it's just freaky as you like.
How are you sending it?
I will send you a link on Skype. Yeah.
Where is this place?
The Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, where is it?
I think it's LA. Unless I just plucked it out for the fun of it when I was writing the book. Yeah, LA.
Does she come back after the door shut?
Nobody knows. That's all the footage that anybody's ever seen. Apparently there was a minute of footage disposed of before anybody saw it, but that was as far as anybody knows in the public, that's the last time anybody saw her alive, so to speak. The next thing was she was found on the roof.
My first thought was,
what the hell is she doing with her arms?
Schizophrenia.
What the hell was she doing with her arms? It was the arms that freaked me out. Like, that wasn't natural, what she was doing.
I don't know. At first, she looks like she's hiding from someone or something.
Yeah.
But then she starts appearing to stroke a massive dog or some little girl's head.
It's bizarre.
Or something.
It's freaky. I don't like it one little bit. It really freaks me out.
The first thing that occurred to me was paranoid schizophrenia.
The first thing that occurred to me was possessed. Whatever she was, whatever she was hiding from got her. Which is why it was linked with my saying about reading The Exorcist. That's why it occurred to me, because that was just freaky as you like. Like that thing with her arms. I can't think about that without it making my eyes water and my arms, the hairs on my arms, like, stand on end. That's one of the few things in recent years that's actually affected me, and I don't want anything to affect me like that again. I like being scared, but there's like a level, fictional kind of scared is all good. You can give me as much of that as you like most of the time. But when it's real life, true story kind of stuff, I'm just like, what the hell? What even happened to that girl? How did it happen to that girl? It's a giant hotel with cameras. How does nobody know what the hell happened to her? That's just freaky. Yeah. It makes me think of...
Very interesting.
Like The Shining. Like... The hotel's done something to her.
Red rum.
Yeah.
Right. So, word of the week.
Red rum.
No.
Roth.
I was thinking Roth myself. That was the one I was thinking. Let's go with Roth then, or if you really insist on
it,
Roth,
has to be that, or like Sewin, or Jack-o'-lantern. Like, it has to be one of those, because they were the coolest things.
I like Roth.
We'll go with Roth then. It's your show.
Roth it is. Roth is word of the week. Right, so do you want to give out some details?
But you're so lazy.
Why?
Because in the last recording, it was my show, and I had to give out the details. And now
you have to give them out?
Because you told me to.
I don't remember that. I thought you made me do it.
No, you were supposed to do it, because that's the way we've done it from the beginning, isn't it? Like, whoever leads, the other person closes. Well, not closes, but you know what I mean. Hang on, I'll have to find the Google Doc.
What, you don't sit there with it on your screen the whole time?
No. I had Google open where I was looking for Eliza Lamb.
That's why God invented tabs.
I don't like tabs. I like to be able to see things without having to squint at some tiny little screen. All right, we better wrap this up.
Okay. Thanks for podding with me, Dibs. You can send any questions or feedback through at Sibling Rivalry 8 on Twitter, siblingrivalrydisorder at gmail.com, and we're at Sibling Rivalry Disorder on Instagram. You'll have to search Sibling Rivalry Disorder on Facebook. Speak to you soon.
Laters, dude.
Yeah, but it's the shape of my face that isn't letting me form words.